we're taking a little bit of a break from our usual study of the book of Acts to refocus in on the theme for the year, and in particular look at this, the power of your testimony. And so the theme for this year, if you remember, is participating in God's story. And this is intimately linked to our study of the book of Acts as well. And both of these, you'll see, particularly all throughout the book of Acts, you see testimonies coming up, and they're a powerful way of sharing the gospel. And so our theme for this year is all about partnering with God. That's what it means. God created us for a purpose, and we can choose to partner with him to carry out the work that he has for us. And a big part of that work involves evangelism. And Pastor Simon introduced this theme to us at the start of the year, you might remember, with Jesus' words in Matthew 4:19, saying, "Come follow me and I'll show you how to fish for people." And those are Jesus' first words to his disciples, and his last words given to his disciples after his resurrection echo that same idea. He says, "Go and make disciples of all nations." So Jesus' life is bookended by these words which describe for us what is required as his followers, as his disciples, and what's required to participate in God's story is that we would be people who would share the gospel, that we would be people who would tell other people about who Jesus is and what he has done for us. And so our hope in telling people the gospel message is that they would respond to it with trusting, repenting, and then choosing to follow Jesus for themselves. And because when people respond to that message with faith and obedience, it brings about salvation. That's our hope. And so that is the gospel, I think, in its simplest terms. Jesus leads to our salvation. And part of participating in God's story is our own human effort to tell other people that same story. And this might give you pause for thought. You might be thinking, how would I tell someone the gospel story myself? How would I explain the gospel message to someone? And so firstly, I'm just going to take a moment to summarize for you the gospel message and maybe suggest one way that you could communicate that and explain it to someone else. So it goes like this. God is the loving ruler of the world, and he has created us as custodians of the earth. He's given us dominion over it, and we're called to rule alongside God in that respect. But that's not the way it is now, because each and every one of us reject God in some way as ruler, and we try to rule by ourselves without God. But the reality is that trying to rule the world on our own without God always fails. And we live in a world today which is filled with hurt and injustice because people choose to do things their own way without God. And because God is not only a God of love, but also a God of justice, there must be punishment for the wrong that has been done. And so God's punishment for our rebellion is death and judgment. And that might sound harsh, but because God loves us so much, he also makes a way for us to be reconciled back to him. And God does that by entering into the world himself as the person of Jesus. God steps down from heaven and he lives this perfect, sinless life. But what he does with that life is surprising. He chooses to die in our place and take the punishment that we would have otherwise had to take and endure. But more than that, days after Jesus' death, he rises from the dead, demonstrating that he is the true king of the world, whose love is more powerful than death. And so this leaves us with a choice to make. We have a choice to follow Jesus, accept him as the true king of the world, receive the forgiveness that we need, and then look forward to eternal life. And that really is good news, isn't it? Right? Actually, it's the best news I've ever heard. And for us as believers, this is a reality in our lives. This has profoundly changed us. But for people who have never heard the gospel before, it comes across as sounding kind of crazy. To people who have never heard the gospel before, this is foolish. And if you've been a Christian for a long time, I think you do forget the good news is not easy to believe, especially in a world where there is so much misinformation about. There's a lot of choices to make, and people find it hard to distinguish fact from fiction. And in our world, people will often look at that gospel message and they'll say, look, it just seems too good to be true. And so the gospel message, I think it can seem that way because mainly no one has ever loved Jesus has. You know, there is nothing in this world that we can compare to God's love. It's so boundless that we have no frame of reference for just how amazing that is. And so people, they'll struggle with this idea that they are worthy of forgiveness. They'll struggle with the idea that God loves them, that God would choose to die in their place, that he wants to know them and have a relationship with them. And so many people, it just seems unbelievable. And that is where the tension lies for us as believers who are here to spread the gospel message. How do you make the unbelievable news about Jesus more believable? One way I would suggest is to tell your own personal testimony. The word testimony probably makes you think of a courtroom where, you know, people are giving evidence, eyewitness accounts and that kind of thing. And in the Christian sense, it means the same thing, but it has a more focused meaning. In the Christian sense, your testimony is the story of how you became a Christian and what God continues to do in your life up until this day. It's the evidence, if you like, for why you follow Jesus. And as Christians, sharing your testimony is a biblical principle. So this is 1 Peter 3, verse 15. It says this: you must worship Christ as Lord of your life, and if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. So it goes on to say this should be done in a gentle and respectful way. And we know that our hope as believers, it comes from Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. What Jesus has done for us has transformed us, and it's profoundly changed how we live our lives because of that. And so what Peter is saying here in this verse, he's saying we need to be ready to speak up and tell anyone who asks us the reason we're living the way we are. Be ready to explain how Jesus' life, death, and resurrection has transformed our lives. And so I want to show you one example of someone doing just that, giving their testimony and showing us how Jesus has transformed their life. And so this is just a short 3-minute video. It's produced by Alpha. You might be familiar with a lot of their content. It's Dez's story. It's a guy called Dez giving his testimony. Let's watch it together. I'd hope you agree with me in saying that Dez's testimony is really powerful in proclaiming the reality of the gospel. And it's powerful, I think, for one, because Dez just simply tells a story about his life. Right? And stories are really effective as a way of just communicating complex ideas simply. I think when you're explaining the gospel, it's easy to get bogged down in those maybe Christian-specific words that you tend to use: sin, salvation, sanctification. But as Christians, we probably forget that those are not words people use in everyday conversation. But Dez, he's able to communicate those same ideas without actually using those words. And so he doesn't lose people in telling his story, and he communicates quite a lot at the same time. It's very effective. Stories also help you see through the worldview of the person telling the story, through the worldview of the narrator. And so for a lot of people, Dez's life and experiences, they might be hard to relate to. If you haven't struggled with those same things, or if you haven't lived or grown up in that culture, you might find Dez unrelatable. And I guess the essence there is that because he's told it as a story, we're invited in to view things from his point of view. And that's what makes it effective. And another reason why I think his testimony is powerful is because it's a valid source of knowledge. If you were going to tell someone the gospel story like I did at the start of the sermon, they might argue things like, I don't think God is real. I don't think Jesus was a real person. I don't think I need to be forgiven. Things like that that we hold to be true, they would dispute those. And a lot of people will argue against claims that we make about the truth written in the Bible, but there is no argument against your personal testimony. All right, your testimony is valid. It's your lived experience. It's authentic. And I think the most important reason why Dez's testimony is powerful is because it demonstrates that the gospel works. Right? When people ask, is it real? it is hard to dispute the radical transformation like we've seen in Des's life. That doesn't happen for no reason. And part of my journey, coming to know who Jesus is, was through other people's testimonies. You know, and to be honest, most of them weren't too dissimilar to what Des speaks about here. And for me personally, hearing people's testimonies was one of the most powerful pieces of evidence that convinced me that Jesus was real. You know, before I became a Christian, I found it to be the most influential thing that made me want to know about more about who Jesus is, because it showed me so clearly the practical changes that people made in their lives because of God. Testimonies are a powerful way to proclaim the reality of the gospel. And so with that, I want to give you a simple approach for telling your own testimony. And it looks like this. There are 4 points to it that I think you need to cover these to tell your story effectively. So you need to be able to explain, number one, your mission in life before Jesus, or before a truth you learned from Jesus changed your life. This is essentially what you sought, what you desired before Jesus, what drives you as a person. So you need to think, I think you need to know yourself well to be able to answer that first point there. The second is how you tried to achieve that mission but ultimately failed. You know, this is where you explain how you tried to achieve what you wanted on your own terms without God, but how that actually didn't work in the end. Number three is how the mission is actually achieved through Jesus. You know, this is where you explain how Jesus transformed your life. And the last one there is the new normal. You know, this is how your life is now as a result of Jesus transforming some part of your life. And so Des actually follows these 4 points really well, which is why I picked his testimony as an example. If we use Des as an example to follow those 4 points, he starts off with that number one, saying his mission in life was to be tough. And the life he pursued was violent, right? And he says he would try to be faster, funnier, more aggressive than the next guy. So his sense of worth and belonging, they were tied up in his strength with being better than the next person who came along to challenge him. And so there's insecurity there. There's a desire to fit in with a certain crowd, probably some unresolved trauma there from the violent life he's living. And this life is hard. He's living a really hard life. And so he goes on to point number two. His solution to cope with this life is to use drugs and alcohol. You know, that's how he tries to achieve his mission. But his addictions start to take over. He says, the violent scene made me take more and more drink and drugs just to stay normal. And eventually his way fails. He says, one night I found myself alone and took an overdose. You know, so this life he's living, this is hard. And the way he's trying to cope with it isn't working to the point where he has a near-death experience. But then something amazing happens. All right, he says, I realized I didn't want to die, so I cried out in prayer. The next day I woke up and I didn't want to touch cocaine ever again. That's a miracle, you know, and it's the start of how his mission is actually achieved. That's point number three. So at first he puts this down to his own strength, but then God pursues him, you know, and he says people, God kept placing Christians into his life. And those Christians, they openly share their faith. And importantly, they give Des lots of opportunities to ask questions and explore the faith. He's invited to church. He's invited to an Alpha course. He's invited into a family, right? A family where people ate together, had fun together, and studied God's word together. And that seems to go on for some time, actually, until he comes to understand who Jesus is and what he's done for him personally, until he realizes that, in his words, God really genuinely cares for me. So he realizes that he is worthy of love, that God's grace and forgiveness are for him, and that truth transforms him. Right? And that's how his mission in life is actually achieved. He realizes that what he's really looking for is security and belonging, and he can find those things in God. So he realizes that he doesn't need to be tough. He realizes that he doesn't need to take drugs to be normal. He finds the security and the belonging he's been looking for in God's love.
And that grows and grows and becomes the new normal for him, which is point number four. His transformation, he says, is from a violent, loveless drug addict to a family man who's happily married and just a lover of life. That's the new normal for him, thanks to Jesus. And so Des, I think he follows those four points really well, and that's part of effective storytelling with your testimony. And so I'd encourage you to think a little bit deeper and think about how you would give your testimony using these four points. The key to doing this well, I think, is first answering the question, who am I? What is my mission in life? Things like that. I think you do need to know yourself well to be able to see the transformation that's been taking place in your own life. But I think that once you work that out for yourself, the rest of your testimony will just flow. Even if you grew up in a Christian household, maybe you're thinking, oh, my story is not as dramatic or profound as Des's story, I'd argue that your testimony is still incredibly powerful. Whenever the truth of who Jesus is and what he's done for you has transformed part of your life, that is powerful. And those are the times you need to focus on. And so at the start, we ask the question, how can we make the unbelievable news about Jesus more believable? And as disciples, we know that we're called to go and make more disciples, disciples of all nations, to tell people the good news about who Jesus is and what he's done for us personally. But we know that people who don't know Jesus will probably think it sounds a bit crazy. One way I suggest that you can make the unbelievable news about Jesus more believable is to tell your own testimony, because your testimony is a powerful way to proclaim the reality of the gospel. You know, your testimony, it's powerful because it's your story. You know, and stories in general, they have power to communicate complex ideas simply. It allows people to view things from your point of view. It's a valid source of knowledge. It's authentic. This is your own story that I don't think can be refuted. And it demonstrates that the gospel works. You know, the transformation that you experienced was real and you're now living it out. That's powerful. And so your testimony shows an unbelieving world a practical, concrete, lived-out gospel and a different way of living and the potential for powerful transformation to take place in their own lives. And while it might sound crazy when people first hear it, something happens when you tell the story of Jesus and start living like he really is the true king of the world. You know, for the person you're telling the good news to, that will become the best news they've ever heard. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you so much that you've brought us all here today, Lord, that you have brought us here because we've learned who you are and what you've done for us personally, Lord. I thank you for the transformations that we've each seen in our lives, the places where your truth has really gone from just being head knowledge to transforming our hearts, and it's changed how we live, Lord. I thank you so much for that, and I pray, Lord, that you would make us bold in spreading the gospel, that you would help us to be evangelists telling people about the good things that you've done in our lives. And so I pray, Lord, for each and every one of us here, that when people ask us about why we live the way we do, when people ask us why we're a Christian, that we would be able to explain it to them, Lord, that we could boldly share with them in a gentle and respectful way the transformations that we've seen happen in our own lives, Lord. I pray this blessing upon each and every one of us today. Amen.